Okay, today's daf is Mem Tet. We are starting about 8 lines from the bottom of Mem Chet Amabet Lema Kitanai. So if you recall, we started yesterday with this machlok at Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about an Eravon. If somebody puts down a deposit, so do we assume, Rav says, Kinegdo hu kone? Now this, by the way, is within the understanding of that your dibor or dibor with ma'ot, right, isn't kone mamash, but even if you say it like Rabbi Yochanan, obviously Rabbi Yochanan is the shita, too, he doesn't change his saying. If you remember, Rish Lakish says ma'ot are not konot min ha-Torah, right? Rabbi Yochanan says they are konot min ha-Torah, but the rabbi said, because of nishrafuchi techav aliyah. But then the question is, what if you put down part of the money? Right? No, everyone agrees you're not allowed to be chozer bo, right? You can't change your mind about it. And if you do, you have a mishapara, right? You get cursed. But the question is, what if you put down money, but you only put down some of the money? So, do we assume, according to Rav, we say, kinegdo hu kone? He can't be chozer bo on the part that he paid for, but he can be chozer bo on the rest. He never put down the money for the rest of it. And Rabbi Yochanan says, keneged kula hu kone, that he's not allowed to be chozer bo at all. Okay, it might actually match his shita, because in general, he thinks that money is a little bit stronger than Rish Lakish would hold, right? So it kind of coincides with his shita, right? Obviously, he thinks that not on a door, right? The rabbi said it's not actually kone, but you will get a curse, mishapara, if you try to renege on the other half. So now we're going to say that maybe this machloka between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is actually a machloka tana'im. How so? We're going to bring in a different machloka and try to connect them. And as we always, or whenever it says lema, let us say, it's usually rejected. Hamalvet chavero al hamashkom. Okay, now first, before we even get into this, we have to get into Shemitah. How does Shemitah work? Shemitah works, Shemitah year comes, cancels out loans. Right? Then we have Prizbal, which is a way of avoiding it. There's another way of avoiding it. Okay? What's the way of avoiding it? Right? How does Prizbal work? Prizbal is we're basically giving the Beit Din the responsibility. And if you have a loan that's in the Beit Din's responsibility, the Beit Din's allowed to be govet, because the whole issue of Shvi'it is between man and man and not between man and Beit Din. If you have a mashkon, if you remember, we had this whole discussion about a mashkon before, is a mashkon, and we're going to see the same chiluk later on, is a mashkon partial payment for the loan, or is a mashkon zichron dvarim ba'alma, if you remember. It's just to have some sort of tangible something to remind us that there's a loan now, right? So if I have something of yours, then that's always a reminder that there's this loan, and I can always remind you that, oh, you owe me money, look, I have your mashkon. So the assumption is that if you view mashkon as partial payment, then what's the issue here? When Shvi comes, it's not what we call mechusar guvaina. It doesn't need to be paid back because you already have the mashkon in your hands. Now, that's assuming the mashkon is worth the value of the loan. What if the mashkon is not worth the value of the loan? Then do we say, well, what part is Shvi'i going to cancel? It's going to be the same issue here. Does Shvi'i cancel just the part that's up against the mashkon, right? Let's just assume you have a mashkon that's worth 50 and the loan was 100, right? The mashkon's 50, the loan was 100. So do we say that when, if you, it doesn't cancel the loan? But is that just that it doesn't cancel the 50, or does it not cancel all of the 100? And that would be the same kind of idea about in our case. So, even though it's only worth part, okay, plag could be part or half, it doesn't cancel. Divrei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, so Shvita comes, it doesn't cancel the loan because you have a mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, im hayam mashkon kineged halva'ato, eino mashamet. If the mashkon matched your halva'ah, the mashkon was 100, then it won't cancel. Vim lav, and if it's not worth it, then mishamet. So now, even though we can kind of explain it like this, the Gemara is going to get into it and explain it a little better. May eino mashamet to ka'amar Rashbag. Now they're going to suggest two different ways of reading it. And they're going to reject the first reading, accept the second reading, then ultimately they're going to reject the second and go back to the original one. So keep it in your mind when you understand the first one. My Eino Meshamet Takama Rashbag. Ilema, when he says Eino Meshamet, If you think he means Eino Meshamet Kinegdo, meaning it doesn't cancel the 50, but it does cancel the other 50. In other words, your Mashkon helps just Masha Kinegdo. Okay? If you want to say that that's what he says, then what's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi going to say? Then Bichlal, do Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, if he's going to disagree, what's he going to say? Lahach palga nami mishamet. It actually cancels the entire loan. Okay? So if we're going to say that, do you follow? Because let's just chart it out. Raman Shimon ben Gamliel says, Eino mishamet, right? And then Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, Im hayah mashkon keneged havato eino mishamet, but im lav mishamet. He says it does cancel, right? Mishamet means shmitah, means it cancels. So remember, I know the lingo gets confusing. Eino mishamet, mishamet. Let's just get it clear. Eino mishamet means because you have a mashkon, the loan's not canceled. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says the loan is canceled even though you have a mashkon. So if you want to say that when Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says Eino Meshamet means the loan's not canceled, meaning only 50 of the loan doesn't get canceled, but 50 stays, right? 50 is gone and 50 stays. Then when Rabbi Yehuda says it is canceled, what does he obviously mean? The whole thing is canceled, right? All 100 are canceled. That's a problem, because according to this, at least they're going to suggest it's a problem. Later they'll answer this up when they go back and explain this reading better. But now they say, Elamashkon dinaki lamale. What's the point of having the mashkon if the whole loan's going to be canceled anyway? It's almost like he views it that the reason to have the mashkon is in order to ensure that you can ultimately get the loan paid back even when Shemitah year comes. Okay? It's assuming, let's say, that the loan was taken somewhat before Shemitah, and what was your point of taking the mashkon if it wasn't going to protect your loan? It's like a security. I know now that Shemitah won't cancel it. So Ella, and therefore, there'd be no point for the mashkon according to this reading. So elalav, therefore, we're going to reject this way of reading it. And what are we going to say? Shmamina mayino meshamet ka'amar rashbag. So if it's not going to be 50-50, what are we going to say in meshamet? The whole loan does not get canceled, right? It stays. The whole loan is going to be intact. And then, so here, mayino meshamet ka'amar rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, eino meshamet bekulo. Umay meshamet ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. What's the meshamet that he means? Lahach palga delo nakitele mashkon. Then we're going to say, the mashkon protects you for half of it, but it doesn't protect you for the other half, right? And that's going to be their disagreement. So when he says mishamet, it doesn't mean the whole thing is canceled. It means part of it is canceled. And then, how does this work? Then it matches exactly our machloket. Ubahaka miflege. De Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel savar kenege kulo hukone, right? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, the mashkon is kenege kulo, like in our case. Just because it's 50, it still covers your entire loan. Right, it only helps you for the 50 itself. But now the Gemara rejects this whole suggestion and says, "Lo, mayino meshamet ka'amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel lahach paga dinakidale mashkon." Now, really, going back to the first one, he says, "Eino meshamet, it's not canceled, only the 50 that you have the mashkon." Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sever lahach paga dinakidale mashkon nami meshamet, meaning it breaks the whole loan. Elamashkon dinakit lamale. So what about our question that we said, well, then what was the point of the mashkon? Lezichron dvarim ba'alma. Oh, the mashkon was just to have some sort of sign that we had a loan here. It wasn't for paying back money. The mashkon wasn't so that if I renege on the loan, I still have something to, you know, if the other person reneges, I still have something to collect by. No. It's just zichron dvarim ba'alma. And I guess the point is he was hoping he would get his loan back before the Shemitah year. But came the Shemitah year, cancels the loan entirely. Okay, now we're going to have a story here. Rav Kahana Yavu Lezuze Akitna. They gave him money for flax. Lesof Iyakir Kitna. But then what happened? The item went up in value. Ata Lekame De Rav. Okay, but they didn't give him all the money. They gave him part of the money. Now the price of the flax goes up. And what's the problem? He doesn't want to sell it because the price went up. He doesn't want to sell it for that cheap price that he sold it for. So, Ata Lekamei Derav. Amar Lei, B'mai D'Nikita Zuzei Havlehu. Whatever you got money for already, you have to give. There's no choice. V'idach, but the rest of it that the guy didn't pay you for yet, Dvarim Ninhu, it's just mere words. U'dvarim Ein Behem Mishum B'chusarei Amana. Okay, once, if you just have a verbal agreement and you cancel, that's not, you're not considered a dishonest person. Okay, this is also Rav Kahana. As a big rabbi even, he can even renege. Okay, that's what he tells him. It's really not a problem. De'itmar, how do we know this? Rav Amar, Dvarim. Okay, there's a machloket about Dvarim. How we view, this is a very interesting sugya. Now we get into, how do we view when you commit to something? Right? How do we view your commitment? So Rav Amar, Ein Bahem Mishum Mechusarei Amanah. Okay? People don't, now this is all about how seriously do you take things, right? How does the world work? This is the way it goes in certain businesses, right? A handshake means everything in the diamond business, let's say. Okay, but in other fields, not so much so. Unless it's written, it doesn't really mean anything. So Rav says, anyone who cancels what he says, that's not mechusarei amanah. You're not considered a dishonest person. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Behem Ishum Mechusarei Amanah. This, by the way, obviously matches their machloket about kinegdo or kineged kulo, right? Because Rav will say, because Ein Behem, if you're not being dishonest, therefore, if you renege on part the part that you didn't pay for, that's totally fine because that's just Dvarim. So this matches 100%. This is really the basis for the other machloket. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if you committed to something, you committed to it. So therefore, if the guy paid the deposit, you committed to give him the whole thing. So you have to give him the whole thing. Okay, Meitive. Now we're going to have a question on Rav. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda Omer, Ma Tamud Lamar Hin Tzedek, Valohim Bichlal Eifahu. Okay, now we have a pasuk, Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, Vihin Tzedek, Yelachem, Ani Hashem Elokechem. This is all about being honest when you measure, right? If you're selling stuff, don't start playing with the weights. So what's a hin and what's an eifah? A hin is 12 log, and an eifah is 72 log. Okay, log is a measurement of volume. So why do you need to say hin if hin is included within eifah, right? It's this. It's a, just a measurement within it. So therefore, what's the repetition for? So now they're going to darshan hin as hain, okay? Not actually as hin, the measurement, okay? Ela lamar lecha she'ehe hain shalcha tzedek v'lav shalcha tzedek. That if you say yes or you say no, that also comes under the realm of honesty in business, okay? So therefore, that's where he gets it from. So, that's not where he gets from. This is, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda says this, right? He's a Tana. And Rav, who says, Dvarim ein behem mishum mechusarei amanah, right? You're not considered a dishonest person. How does he relate to this source? Follow, this source says, clearly, you have to be honest in your words. So, Amar Abaye, the way he understands this is not that hein shalcha tzedek v'lav shalcha tzedek, that if you, it doesn't mean if you got into a business agreement and committed to something, you have to keep to your commitment. He understands it, hahu shelo yidaber echa b'peh v'echa b'lev. You shouldn't say one thing in your heart and a different, and think that, what's the cases we saw, where the facts on the ground change, the price is fluctuated, and therefore you want to change. But this is where you made an agreement, but you were thinking something else, and you were already planning to be dishonest at the time you made the agreement. So that's a different story. So that's how Rav would answer this. Okay, second question on Rav. Meitivei. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Afal pi shamru talit kone dinar zahav, ve'ein dinar zahav kone talit. We saw this at the top of Memchad Amud Aleph. Ve'ein dinar zahav kone talit mikol makom kach halacha. Right? In other words, that if you give, put down money, you're not koneh the talit yet, and you can change your mind. Aval amru misha parami anshei dor mabul anshei dor flaga hu atili parami misha eino me b'dibuho. Right, and if you remember, it doesn't quote the whole thing here, but that's really the part that they're missing, which is not just if you put down money, do you get a misha para, but even if it was just dvarim ba'alma. Okay, here's the rest of it. V'hanoseh v'notem b'dvarim lo kana. Right? If you just speak words and you made a business deal, there's no kinyan. But a chozer bo ain roch chachamim no chaymen. Right? But if you go back on your word, then chachamim aren't pleased with you. Now, clearly, Rav didn't believe that because Rav told Rav Kahani, you can go back on your word, no problem. So he obviously didn't think ain roch chachamim no chaymen. So how could he work in with Rabbi Shimon? So the simple answer is Tanaihi, it's a machloket Tanaim. Not all the Tanaim agree with Rabbi Shimon. Ditnan, how do we know? Maseb Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, Shamar lebeno, Tzei uschor lanu poalim. So he tells his son, go and get some workers for us. Halachu pasak lahem mizonot. So he goes, he finds workers, and he commits to him. He commits to the workers that will give them food. If you remember, we had this the other day, right? That he committed the food, he couldn't pay the food, right? In other words, the general practice was if you hire poalim, you had to give them food. So he said, I'll give you food. Ukishaba etzel aviv, when he goes back to his father, Amar lo, Bini, afilu ata uselan kesudat shlomo b'shato, lo yatzati yidei chovayim mehem, shem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. He says to them, if you promise them food, okay, even if you give them a food like Shlomo HaMelech, right, you think about who's the wealthiest person on the planet, right? That was Shlomo HaMelech. He had all this gold and silver and he fed everybody, you know, these fancy meals. Even if you feed them a meal like that, you're still not going to be Yosei your Chiyuv. Why? Because the assumption is that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov even had bigger Se'udot than Shlomo. Not exactly sure where the proof for this is. But, right, I'm thinking of those Ugot that Sarah made in the Ohel, right? So, even if you made the biggest meal, they could still come and claim it's not bigger, it's not good enough. It's not good enough for us. We're B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We need to eat like kings. So, or more than kings, right? Because Shlomo would be a king. He's saying, even if you feed them a king's feast, it's not, they could still have a claim against you. So therefore, what does the father say? Ela al shelo yatchilu b'melacha. Before they start working, say the emor lahem, al menat she'en lachem alai ela pat v'kitni bilvad. You have to go to them and say, listen, before they start working, you have to say, I'm changing what I said. I'm not giving you regular mizonot. I'm giving you pat and kitnio, right? Like beans and lentils and rice and things like that. I'm giving you just that, okay? Simple food. Because if you don't stipulate that, they'll come and have a claim against you. V'isal kadatach. Dvarim, yesh behem yishum mechusarei amana, hechi amar leziel hadabracha. Right? How could he possibly say, go change what you promised them? Okay? So, what are we proving from here? That Rav can say, there's a Tana who holds like me. That clearly we don't care if you change your tone. But now, or change your commitment. So now the Gemara answers, no. Shanei hatam, that case is a unique case. Why? What was the case? The son went out to find workers for the father. So what's the obvious point here? What happened? The son went back to the father, reported back what he committed to them, and the father said, oh, I'm not willing to commit that. You got to change what you said. But what do we say here? Po'alim gufayu lo samcha da'atayu. In other words, the po'alim know, here, we'll just read a little more, my time, why don't the po'alim? The po'alim knew not to believe whatever the son promised, because what did they know? Me de'yadei da'alavu asamach. Okay? They knew that the... It's like you send someone to make a business deal for you, right? So someone works for you, let's say. They make the terms, right? But they know that in the end you have to sign off on them. So they know that when they, you know, your worker makes a deal, that it's not going to be final until you give the final word on it. So therefore, that was this kind of case. And therefore, when the son came back and said, listen, we're only going to commit to you, Papa Kitney, that wasn't called changing his mind. That was just finishing up the agreement. So then, they say, wait a minute. Then even if they started working, let's say he hires them, they start working, and then he comes back to his father, and his father says, you know, no, I'm not willing to do that. So it should also be okay. So then they say, no. Itchilu b'melacha badai samchei da'atayu. Amrei meimer amar kamei davua v'nichale. Once they start working, then they assume at that point, once they started working, that the son, it's almost like a time thing. There must have been... They didn't start immediately. They must have, you know, the son went back to the father. The son didn't change the terms with them. So then they assumed that at that point the father must have agreed. So even though I said, right, they wait till you sign off on the agreement, let's say you're the boss, it's not exactly like that. Because if I make an agreement, I'm working for someone and I make the agreement, and then the guy never, you know, doesn't have a problem with it and I never go back to the people and start renegotiating, we can assume that whatever I negotiated was fine with my boss. Otherwise, I would have come back and said something. So if they already started the work, then the assumption is, this is also an interesting thing, just because they started working, right, does that mean, you know, it's often that where later on after you start doing something, they start changing the terms. What do you mean? I already started working? You know, at that point, you assume that they're not changing the terms on you and that if the father had an issue, he would have said so. So therefore, we didn't succeed in really answering up this question on Rav. Now we're going to have a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, v'ha amar Rav bar Bar Chanan, amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha'omer. So does Rabbi Yochanan really say that if you don't keep to your word, right, you're mechusarei amana? Rav bar Bar Chanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, ha'omer l'chaveiro, matana ani noten l'cha, yachol lachzor bo. So if you say, I'm going to give you a present, okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can change your mind. So first they say, Yachol pshita. What do you mean? Of course you can change your mind. Ela mutar lachzorbo. In other words, yachol means he can. Of course, you can do whatever you want, but the point is, it's allowed. You can be chozer bo. So now, how does that work with Rabbi Yochanan? He said, your word is your word. So Amar Papa, here's a very interesting distinction. Okay, for all parents who bribe their children with very large bribes, okay, this happens once in a blue moon in my house, not my side, but so, this is why I like this sugya. What does it say? Amar Papa, umode Rabbi Yochanan b'matanamu etet, desam chadatayu. Rabbi Yochanan's mode, that when you promise a small gift, then you can't be chozer bo, okay? Because you committed to that. But if you promise someone a big gift, what does it mean, sam chadatayu? It means that the person who you said you're giving it to is assuming you're going to give it to them. Because a small gift, it's not such a big deal. But if you promise them something big, so then they know that you're not necessarily really going to keep to your promise. Because it's very big, right? Like, so when you bribe your kids with some huge thing, they know deep down that there's a very little chance that this bribe is actually going to come to fruition. Still have some issue in my house on this one. Okay. Hachi Navi Mistabra, and you can further prove this, to Amar Rabbi Avau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Sha'amar LeBen Levi, Kor Ma'aser Yesh Levi Adcha, Ben Levi Rashai Lasato Trumat Ma'aser O'Makom Acher. So here's your case. Okay, this goes back to something we saw before about taking Truman and Ma'aser on stuff that you're not actually sure if you still own anymore. Remember we had that a few days ago? So now we're going to prove that a matanamu etet, samchadatayu, and you can make a distinction between matanamu etet, matanamu ruba. So what does he say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? That the Yisrael says to a Ben Levi, okay, he says, this korma aser that I have of yours, okay, one second, korma aser yesh li biyadcha. Yeah, wait, right, sorry, yesh lecha biyadi. So he says to the Ben Levi that there's this maser, in other words, I'm putting aside maser for you. And it belongs to you, because you're the Levi, right? You're supposed to get the maser. It's in my house. If the Ben Levi wants, he can la'asoto trumat maser o'makom achir. He can use this, right? Let's say he's got food somewhere else. He can say, oh, I picked these fruits. Now I want to take truma to maser. Well, truma, really, because he's only chayav in truma. He has to give truma to the kohen from his maser. The Levi gets 1/10. From that, he has to give truma. So I'm going to make the stuff that's sitting in the guy's house that he committed to me, I'm going to use that as my truma. So, Iyamar Bishlama lo matze mehadar bay. Now, what's the issue? The Ben Yisrael said, I'm giving you this as, right, as my gift to you, right? It's my maser, but it's his gift because I can give it to any Levi. He says, I'm going to give it to you. What if the guy changes his mind? If the guy changes his mind, then how can you take truma on it not knowing whether you're actually going to ever see that or not? So, if you're going to say on a, right, that right? That you're not, people don't, they're not chozer bo on a matana mu'etet. Ela I amar matze lemahadar bay, if you say the guy might change his mind, amai rashai, ish kaftecha achel tvalim, right? How can you do that? Because maybe the guy will give it as a gift, and then it turns out he never really took truma namasrod, in which case he's eating tevel in his house. So then they say, no, this doesn't necessarily prove it, because you could say it like this. Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon shenatlumi menu v'chazar v'hivkido etzlo. It could be a case where he actually gave the Levi did a kinyan mashicha on the item, but then said, but I want to keep it in your house. Let's say the Levi was passing through, he said, I want to give you this stuff. He said, great, I'll do a kinyan on it, but then I want to leave it in your house till I come back. Ihachi, now they say, wait, it doesn't make sense though. Ema seifa, what does it say at the end? Nitano leben Levi acher, ein lo alav ela taromet. If the guy gives it to some other ben Levi, then all he can do is have a complaint. Okay, this we're going to see in the sixth parak, right? Those who learned about Matzias year last year, right? All about complaints. In other words, you have a legitimate complaint, but you have no monetary rights to anything. Okay, so the Ben Levi can complain, but he can have a legitimate complaint, basically. He has a right to complain, but he's not going to get anything for it. So what do you see here? Clearly, he didn't do, right? V'isakadata kigon shenadlumi mena b'chazar v'yipkido etzlo, amai ein lo alav ala taromen, kevan demashche mamoni legabei. If he really did a kinyan mashicha, well, then it would belong to him entirely. And then he would have more than a taromen. So therefore, ala lav shmamina b'dilo natlu. So it must be where he didn't do a kinyan shmamina. Okay, and therefore we can infer from here that exactly what we were trying to prove, that a matanamu etet, we can assume that the guy's not going to be chozer bo. Okay, but that, we can distinguish between that and a matanamu ruba. Hahu gavar diav zuze ashum shame. Okay, another case. A guy gave money for sesame. L'sofi yakir shum shame, hadru behu. Okay, so again, he gave some money, the price goes up, they change their mind. And the guy said, I don't have any shumshumin. Okay, the guy didn't want to sell it because the price went up. So he says, oh, by the way, I know you gave me money for this, but I don't have any. Shkol zuzcha, go take your money back. Okay, now the story gets interesting. So what happened? The guy paid, right? Remember, we said there's no kinyan. Maybe a mishapara the guy should get because he's being chozerbo, right? But he claims the price went up. Now he claims, I don't have any shumshumim to give you. And then the guy says, since I have no shumshumim, right, the seller, go take your money back. Lo shakil zuze. But the guy was unwilling to take his money back because he still wanted to fight with the guy and say, look, you got my money, give me my stuff. Ignuv. And then the money gets stolen. So now whose responsibility is it, right? Atu lekameh de Rava. So they go before Rava, right? And the Amar le, kevan da Amar lach, shkol zuzcha, velo shakat, lo mebay shomer sachar, telo have, ela filu shomer chinam nami lo have. Since the guy told you to take your money back and you didn't take it back, well, not only is he not a shomer sachar, he's not even a shomer chinam. Basically, it was your fault that you didn't take the money back from this guy. Amar le, Rabbanan le Rava. Wait a minute. But at least the guy who lost the money should at least get the curse of a mishapara because he changed his commitment. And he, right, remember, he also got money for it. It wasn't just dvarim, it was money. And we already said that if someone pays the money, well, then you get a mishapara. Amar lehu hachinami. Yes, he should also get a mishapara. Okay. The story gets more interesting. Amar le Rav Papi. Amar le Ravina, Lididi Amar le Hahume Rabbanan, Virav Tavut Shmei. So now Rav Papi says that Ravina came to Rav Papi and said to him that, by the way, this story was told to me by the guy who it was told about, the owner of the Shumshimim, and his name is Rav Tavut. The Amar le Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei, or some people, it could be his name was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra. I don't exactly remember his name. He says, if you gave me all the space in the world, okay, it's like what we would say, if you give me $1 million, I still would never go back on my word. Which is strange, right? And then he says to him, the story actually happened with me, but this is the way the story happened. Okay, the story was different than it was told.
This is the seller.
It was the seller. And the seller says, this is really what happened. Hahu yoma apanya damale shabta hava. It was Erev Shabbat, just before Shabbat. Bahava yativna, and I was sitting. Va'atahu gavre bakaya bava, and a guy comes knocking at my door. Amrele, ila chashum shame lizvune, do you have sesame to sell me? Amrele, lo. I said to him, no, I don't have. Right? You can see where the story could get a little distorted here, right? He did want to buy sesame, but what happens now? Amrele, lihave hanach zuze bepikadon gabcha. The guy says, listen, it's almost Shabbat. I want to keep my money. Can I at least keep my money? I wanted to buy sesame with these. You don't have sesame. But can I keep my money? Is it pikadon in your house? Dehachashchali, because now it's Shabbat, and, you know, I don't want to walk around carrying my money on Shabbat. Amrele, ha beta kamach. My house is before you. Otvina bebeta, he puts it in his house. Ve'ignuv, and it gets stolen. Ata lekameh derava, amarle, kol ha beta kamach, lo mebaya shomer sachar de lohave, ela afilu shomer chinam nami lohave. What does he say? He says the terminology that you use, my house is before you, doesn't mean anything. My house is before you doesn't mean, yes, I'm going to be a shomer. My house is before you means, if you want, you can use my house at your discretion, right? It's like when there's all those signs that say, you know, you go into a parking lot and it says, we don't take any responsibility for lost, stolen items, right? That's what he was basically saying. You want to keep it in my house, no problem, but I'm not committing to anything. And that was the story, and it had nothing to do with my dibur. Okay? So they say, but wait a minute. How could that story make any sense? Because didn't the rabbi say to Rava in that story, Ibaile the kibule alei mishapara, right? That the guy's supposed to get cursed, mishapara. The guy, obviously, in your version of the story, nobody did anything wrong, that, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, you should get a mishapara. Ba'amar li, and what did he say to me? And this is what Ravina was saying. What did he say to me when I asked him that question? Lo hayu dvarim me'olam. That never happened. Okay. What's the point of the story? I actually thought that what's going on here really is the power of words and how words get misconstrued. This is, what he's saying is there was a whole different version of the story, and people used words basically, right? It's all the same theme of how serious is your word, and what's the problem with taking your word seriously is that we don't always know what your word was, right? If we don't have witnesses, there's no one, stories can have all different versions and things can happen in different ways, and it's getting at the concept that's going on here about your words. Are you mechusarei amana? Or maybe it's your word versus my word. Who's to say, right? Or again, how do we view, how is the spoken word viewed? Is it something that we assume can be misconstrued, can be taken out of context, can be, you know, the things passed down? Anyway, it's all about the concept of words, which comes up a lot in halacha, because we always talk about this in Nedarim, right? How do we view, what did you mean when you said this? And the asmachta we saw the other day, right? When you exaggerate, did you mean what you meant or did you not really mean it? So that's what's really a crux here. And I think taking this story that has different versions of it is also kind of getting to the same concept, that words are, can be used in all sorts of ways to be misconstrued. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now we're going back to the Mishnah. What did the end of that Mishnah say? So let's go all the way back, because who remembers, right? So, where did the Mishnah start? It was the first Mishnah of the Perek. So go back to Mem Dalid. We had Azahav Koneh Ata Kesef, Kesevino Koneh Ata Azahav. And Nechosha Koneh Ata Kesef, right? All those things about what's Koneh what. Comes Rabbi Shimon at the end and says, Kol Sha Kesef Yado Yado Ala El Yonah. So now we're going to understand. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Eimatai, Bizman Sha Kesef HaPirot B'yab Mocher. Aval kesef biyad mocher upeiro biyad lokech eino yachol lachzor bo mipnei shekesef biyado. So this bright is going to be a little strange, but we'll start with it right now, and then we'll see what's wrong with it. So what does this mean? When is yado ala elyona? This says when the kesef and the peirot are biyad mocher, which means if you gave the money to the seller and he hasn't yet given you the peirot, right? Then his yad is ala elyona, meaning he can be chozor bo, but the seller can't, right? Aval kesef biyad mocher upeirot biyad lokeach. But if the kesef's in the hand of the mocher and the peirot are in the hand of the lokeach, meaning the sale was already done, eino yachol lachzor bo mipnei shekaspo biyado. He can change his mind. Why? Now here's the strange line. Why can't he change his mind? What would you think? Because the peirot are already in the hands of the lokeach, right? Obviously the sale is done. But that's not what it says. It says mipnei shekaspo biyado, because the kesef is in his hand. So now that they say, biyado, biyab mocherhu. In other words, what do you mean? The kesef, it sounds like because the kesef's in the hands of the lokeach, but it's not. It's biyab mocher. So what does it say? No. Ele mipnei shedemei kaspo biyado. It means because the value of his money, meaning the item that he acquired using that money, was in the hands of the lokeach. And that's why, let's just go back. The point is that the mocher is yado ala elyona, but when is his yad ala elyona? When he gets the money, but he doesn't yet get, the lokeach doesn't get the fruits yet. But if he, the lokeach already got the fruits, then he already has the value of his money in his hand, meaning the item that he acquired with it. And therefore, he can't be chozer bo. You know, the mocher can't be chozer bo. But then the Gemara says, pshita, what do you mean? That's totally obvious. We knew that from the Reisha. Rabbi Shimon's not being mechadish anything. Right? Amarava, hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon shaita aliyah shalokeach muskeret biyad mocher. What does this mean? That let's say the mocher is renting out a space of the lokeachs. Okay? So now the guy gets the money, and what does he do? He puts the item in the attic of the lokeach, which is owned by the lokeach. Okay? But the lokeach never did meshicha. Remember? So Tama Mait Kina Rabbana Meshicha. What was the reason, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that they were metakin that you have to do Meshicha and money's not enough? Gzera Shema Yomarla Mishrafu Chaitecha Baliyah. But in this case, what are we going to say? If the Mocher puts it in the attic of the Lokach and the Lokach never did Meshicha, is it going to be a good Kenyan? Yes, says Rabbi Shimon. Why is it a good Kenyan? Because Hacha Bereshute de Lokach Ninu. Inach Ledleka Ba'ones Iu Tarachu Maitela. That since he put it in the property of the lokeach. Now, here you have to have an assumption, right? There's no emails and messages and, you know, ways to let him know there's a fire. But the assumption is that because it's owned by him, he comes and checks up on it often. Because he comes and checks up on it often, if there is a fire, he'll notice. and it'll be his responsibility, and it won't be, the mocher won't say, oh, but this isn't my property, I don't have to deal with it. The point is, it's not the mocher's responsibility, it belongs to the lokeach. If the fire happens in the rishut of the lokeach, then it's the lokeach's issue. And therefore, even without mashicha, he's kone. Okay? That's in the event that he put it in his property. So, right? He would go and bring it himself. Hahu gavra diyav, another case. A guy gave, by the way, you see all these cases here? Because clearly, these are things that happen ma'asim b'chol yom. Right? These are goings on that always happen. Hahu gavra diyav zuzei achamra. He gave money for wine. L'sof shama dekabai l'mintzaba debei parzak rufila. Okay, in the end, he hears that this guy, Rashi says Parzak was the name of a tsar. Okay, he was Mishneh LaMelech. Rufila means he was Mishneh LaMelech. He hears that the king's men are coming to take away all the wine. Okay, so Amarle Hav Le Zuze Lo Beina Chamra. So he says, "Give me back my money. I don't want wine because if I buy the wine now, the king's people are just going to take it away." Ata l'kamedu Rav Chista Amarle. Just like you have to do mashicha to sell the item, you also have to do mashicha to acquire the item, and therefore, since there was no kinyan mashicha, you can be chozer bo in this case. Okay, and they allowed him to do that. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to get into dinei ona'a. This is going to be the next topic for a while. Okay, what is ona'a? Ona'a is when you sell something or buy something. Okay, let's start with the selling. You sell something for more than a certain percentage of what the item is supposed to be. Okay, we're going to see, I'm scared to exactly define it because we're going to see there's a machloket about what the percentage is, right? That's why I'm not giving you an amount yet. And what we're talking about, the value of the item itself, or is it a percentage based on the item, or the amount that you paid? We'll see in a minute. It's a little confusing. I don't want to confuse you too much. But the concept is you buy something for higher than the price, okay? Or
the owner makes a profit.
The owner makes too much of a profit. Now, this is very hard for us to understand in our day and age because the markup is so great. Okay, but we assume that what this means is there's a market value for something. And you can't veer too much from that market value or too little from that market value. You also, if you buy something for less than the market value, you pay so little, then the mocher can basically... Now, I'm trying to say this without... There's so many permutations here. So number one, there's going to be the issue of what exactly this percentage is. Number two, there's going to be an issue is what it's based on. Is it based on the price that you paid? And you say, well, that price was X percentage higher than it should have been. Or does it go based on the price of the item? And that's the base. And from there, we determine the percentages. Number two... Okay, so number one, the percentage. Number two, what's it based on? Number three... What happens if you do this? So then there's going to be different levels. If it's within the range, underneath the range, right? Let's say you overcharge but not by too much, or you undercharge but not by too much, not by the percentage. Then we're going to assume that either, whichever side it was mochel, okay? And the sale is a good sale. If you reach that percentage and you're at that percentage, then, okay, there's a bit of a debate about this, but there's going to be a question of, do we say that the whole mecher is canceled, or do we say that you can get your money back, that hefresh, right? The amount that you were overcharged, you can claim it back, or the amount that you were undercharged, you can make the guy pay. And then once you get past that amount, everyone agrees that the mecher is canceled, okay? That you can just renege on the whole. So where we were just talking about you can't change your mind and renege and all that, according to this, if you way overcharge or way undercharge, you could just cancel the entire thing. The question is going to be, what if you're at that overcharge rate? Do we say you can, you know, cancel the whole thing or just get your hefresh back, you know, the amount you were overcharged? So, ha'ona'a arba'a kesef me'asrim va'arba'a kesef l'sela. Okay, let's go back to our money, you know, money values. Okay, so we have a sela. A sela is worth 4 zuzim. Each zuz is worth 4 me'ah, 4 silver coins. Each one is worth 6 silver coins. So 4 zuzim, right? A sela is worth 4 zuzim times 6 me'ah, 6 silver coins, 24 silver coins. Okay, so that's why they say, Esrim va'arba'a kesef l'sela. So what's ona'ah? 4 ma'ot of kesef to a sela. which is basically four ma'ot to 24 ma'ot, okay? So exactly, very simply, okay, it would be much easier to just say that. 1/6, and that's what the Mishnah is going to say. Okay, shtot lemekach, 1/6. Now, the other thing I didn't mention is, okay, the fourth parameter, we've discussed three parameters. Until what point can you change your mind about this? Can you say, oh, wait, I was overcharged. So this reminds me of like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Okay. Ad matai mutar lachzir, ad shir ele tagaro lekrovo. You go and ask people for help, right? You go, so you bought this item, then you go home, you show it to your friends and your relatives, and they say, I can't believe you paid that amount for that, right? How could that possibly be? So then you could go back and return it, right? Okay. This happened to me once in an airport. I bought this, I forgot my neck pillow, and I always have neck issues. So I went to a store, and I saw, oh, 36. Wow, that's a great price, 36 shekels for a neck pillow. So I was like, great. You know, I go, and then we were running to the gate, and I you know, rip off the tag already. And Seth notices the tag, and he says, you paid $36 for this? And I said, $36? You've got to be crazy, a neck pillow for $36. You know, so that would be like a good case of ona'at dvarim. Yeah, that was like way overcharged, although, you know, you could claim that in the airport they overcharge, right? I was silly for thinking that I could get a neck pillow for 36 shekel in the airport in Israel, no less. Maybe somewhere else, but not in Israel. So anyway, that was a good case of, you know, you show your krovim, they notice and they say, whoa, are you crazy? You know, you spent that kind of money? So, horeh bar bitar fon belod. Okay, so now now we have how much time do you have? So according to Tanna Kamma, it's 1/6, and you have just enough time to get home, show your relatives and close friends, go back, and that's it. Horeh Rabbi Tarfon b'lod, but Rabbi Tarfon taught in Lod, ha'ona'ah shmone kesef me'esrim v'arba kesef l'sela. Shlish l'mekach. He claims it's 1/3, okay? All of a sudden, all the people in Lod were like, awesome, we can charge. We can, you know, we're like the airport. Oh, Lod, right near the airport. There you have it. We can charge. Maybe that's their source. We can charge a ton of money. Amar lahem, kol hayom mutar lachzor. Then he says, oh, but by the way, it's true it's 1/3, but they have all day to return. Amru lo, yaniach lana rabbi tarfon b'mkomeinu v'chazru l'dibrei chachamim. Thanks, but no thanks. We'll stick with Chachamim. We much prefer a much shorter period of time because we think that if you give people all day, you know, there'll be a lot more returns. Okay. Now, according to this, it seems to be Abu Tai Mutar Lahachzir. It seems like if you're at the rate of Shtot, you know, you get to this 1/6 or 1/3, then you can either return the item and cancel the whole sale, or you can get the Hefresh. Okay, that's what the Mishnah holds. La halacha, we don't hold this way. La halacha, we're going to see also another braita that holds this way. But la halacha, we hold that at shtot, at the 1/6, you're only allowed to get back your hefresh. You can't cancel it at 1/6, okay? That's just an interesting point to know. Itmar. Rav Amar, and we're going to see it later on in the Gemara. Rav Amar shtot mekach shaninu, Ushmuel Amar shtot ma'ot nami shaninu. Rav is going to be more narrow in his focus. He's going to say it's all based on the item that you bought. If the item is worth 24, okay, then we go 1/6, right? What's it going to be? 4. So 4 ma'od in either direction, 20 or 28, okay? But Shmuel says, shtot ma'od nami shaninu. Okay, I'm going to give you the example now that the Gemara, well, let's read it in the Gemara and then we'll explain what he says. Okay, we're going to skip the example of the Mishnah now. We're going to go to a different example. A simpler one that we can do all the fractions of in a simple manner. 6. The mechir is 6. Okay? So what Shmuel is doing is including additional cases in this issue. So, shave shita b'chamisha. If you have something worth 6 and you sell it for 5, or shave shita b'shiva, or you sell it for 7, that's basically 1/6 more, 1/6 less. Kulei ama lo pliyid, batar mekach hazina. Both Rav and Shmuel think that that's okay. Vona ahav, you know, that's your classic case of ona. Vona ahav, that's ona. Ki pligi shave chamisha b'shita. What if you sell something worth 5 and you sell it for 6? Okay, so now what's going to happen? That's 1/5 more. It's not 1/6 more, right? So or shave shiva b'shita. Okay, so first of all, here you're going to have
greater, right? 1/5 is greater than 1/6. And here you're going to have, if you sell seven, something's worth seven for six, that's going to be 1/7, which is going to be less than a sixth, right? So according to this, what would Rav say? That's not onah. So what is it? Well, in the 1/5 where it's greater, right, the difference is greater, the whole mechak is going to be canceled 100%. According to the 7 to 6, what are we going to say? It's a good sale. There's mechila. Okay? So the Shmuel damar batar ma'ot azlinan, idi v'idi ona'a. Shmuel goes by what you paid. You paid 6. So 1/6 more, 1/6 less. This, all these cases would be included in 1/6. 1/6 either means 1/6 more than the sale item of the, you know, what the item is supposed to sell for, or 1/6 compared to what you paid. So if you paid 6, then the 1/6 is going to be related to what you paid also. So all those cases are going to include any of those three cases, right, where you sold it for, it was worth 6 and you sold it for either 5 or 7, or it was worth 5 but you sold it for 6, or it was worth 7 and you sold it for 6, all those two things belong in the middle case of ona'a. Right? Not where it's mechila and not where it's for sure canceled. That's the middle case of ona. That's his shita. So debatar ma'ot azlinan, so idi v'idi ona'a. They're all going to be ona'a. L'rav da'amar batar mekach azlinan. We'll finish with this line. Rav holds that you go after the sale, shave chamisha b'shita, bitul mekach havia. This is what we said already. If you sell five for something worth 5 for 6, it's bitul mekach. All things canceled. Shavi shiva b'shita mechila havia. Okay? Ushmuel amar ki amrina mechila ubitul mekach hecha delei kashtot mishnei atzadim. He says the only way we say mechila or bitul mekach is when there's shtot from all directions. In other words, where there isn't shtot, from there isn't a 6 from any direction. Aval hecha dei kashtot, this is just explaining what we said. But if there is 1/6 mitzad echad, either by the sale price or either by the price that it's worth, or by the price that you sold it for, ona havia. Okay, that's his shita. And then we're going to have some sources. We're going to try to use our Mishnah to either prove or disprove one of the sides. Okay, we're going to try to use our Mishnah actually to prove Shmuel, and then they're going to say, well, it doesn't really prove it. And they're going to try a few times.